Greetings, my peeps. Welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy, TD. In this episode, I'll be doing my week one observations as far as the NBA goes. We're into the 2024-25 season, so I'll give you a few brief comments about week one. And also, WNBA news, guys. A few more firings. And also, the Players Association opts out of their collective bargaining agreement. So we'll talk about that as well. So all that and more. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, the NBA season is officially underway. We had a week's worth of games thus far. I'll just give you some observations. I'm not going to go too crazy about the results. It's very early in the season, guys. So just a few notes and things like that. But before I even do that, I want to hit some WNBA news that's come down the pike. So a lot of important stuff happening, guys. So without any further delay, let's get into it. First, we'll start with the New York Liberty. They had their parade in New York City down the Canyon of Heroes. They did that on Thursday on October 24th. And it was a rousing success, guys. Thousands and thousands of fans along Broadway, down by Battery Park, all the way up to City Hall. And it was a time and a half, guys. We got footage of it, so I was able to share some of the clips and videos and so forth. So it was a huge success, guys. He had all types of floats there. He had the MVP float, with Jonquel Jones. Also, the owner was on that same float, Clara Wu Tsai. Also, Sabrina, she had her own float. Stewie had her own float. Then you had some with Menaji Laney Hamilton, Kennedy Burke, Kayla Thornton, Marquisha Davis, and Jalen Sherrod, that crew there. They had, even had a float for Ellie, for crying out loud. Ellie was on the float. Then you had, this is what I loved, guys. You had the old school Liberty players. You had Teaspoon there, Kim Hampton, Crystal Robinson, Vicky Johnson. It was a beautiful thing. And then also they had one for the Timeless Torches, you know, the dance group there that performs at the Barclay. They had their own float. It was just a great time out there. Everyone was thrilled. Everyone was happy. So again, to the victor goes the spoils. So they got to do that. They made some TV appearances already. They went on Good Morning America. They did a pop-in on Jimmy Fallon's show. So yeah, it's just a beautiful thing. And then also, too, the event that evening, Thursday evening at the Barclay, which was star-studded as well. A lot of stars came out. And for the last time this season, they lit the torch at the Barclay Center. So all in all, it was a very good day for the New York Liberty. Again, world champions of the W. NBA. So there's that news. Now let's talk some firings, guys. The Washington Mystics fired both the coach, Eric Thibault, and his father, the GM, Mike Thibault, rather. Fire the son and then the father, who was the GM. So both of them are out now. And Eric, his 2 years on the job, they went 19-21, making the playoffs. They were quickly handled by the New York Liberty. And then this year, they lose five more games, going 14-26. So overall record of 33-47. So Eric is out. His father, Mike, is out as well. Where they go from here, who knows? Because right now, there's a lot of openings, guys. In fact, two more openings. Let's talk about Christy Sides out as the Indiana Fever coach. Last year, she had the difficult year. They finished 13-27. This year, after a 1-8 start to the season in a difficult road schedule and schedule as a whole, she was able to right the ship, and they actually went 19-12 the rest of the way, thus securing them a spot in the playoffs. In fact, they were 6th in the standings in the playoffs, which I thought was pretty good given how they started. But Lynn Dunn and the powers that be over there said, thanks for everything, Christy, but we're moving on. So Christy Sides out. Mind you, remember, in August, she won Coach of the Month because her team went 5-1 in the month of August. So I don't get what's going on in the WNBA as far as these coaching firings, the coaches being fired and stuff. But she is out. I don't think she's on the sideline for long, given what she was able to accomplish between last year and this year. So I think she finds a spot somewhere. I think somebody will scoop her up. And then the big bombshell that came down today, guys, Stephanie White, a coach I love, was last year's coach of the year. This year, she was third, had her team third in the standings. And she's out as well. Let's put it this way. They part ways. Her and the Connecticut Sun parts ways. So now Stephanie White, who will not be unemployed long, guys. In fact, the early rumblings is her going back to Indiana, where she played at, and also where she was an assistant coach when they won their WNBA title, their only WNBA title, the Indiana Fever did. So you have that. Then you have the fact she was a former player as well. Then you add on to that, she is from Indiana. She was Miss Indiana basketball in high school. So you have all of that. And it seems like a kind of a fait accompli that she'll end up going back there to coach. So it remains to be seen. We'll see what happens. Now, Connecticut's searching for a coach. I say do a coach swap, to be honest with you. If Stephanie ends up going to Indiana, I say Christy Sides, she goes to Connecticut. She's not a horrible coach, guys. I think, you know, she had a difficult start to the season. She righted the ship. As the team was able to practice and play together and kind of know each other, you saw the team get better. So, again, I think she'll land on her feet. Connecticut, I think, will be an absolutely great opportunity for her. I know there's other openings. I get that. But it seems like her coaching style, her must for her team to play defense, that coincides with what Connecticut does. So I think she'd be a seamless fit over there. So you kind of swap coaches, I think. So we'll see what happens. But that would be an ideal place for her to land as a coach. So right now, guys, you got now 7 openings for a coach. You have the LA Sparks, who let go of Kurt Miller. The Chicago Sky, who let go of Teresa Weatherspoon. You got the Atlanta Dream that let go of Tanisha Wright. And then Dallas, I mentioned that last episode. Latricia Trammell is out. There's rumbling saying that Trammell will end up with Chicago. That's the early buzz as far as that goes. We'll see. It would be nice. She landing in a place like that. She where she has the two bigs over there. She just needs some guard help. So that'd be a nice landing for her. But my thing is, how you fill these other positions, for crying out loud? And I'm still talking about LA not extending the opportunity to Lisa Leslie, who's coaching in the Big Three, by the way. So you have somebody with coaching acumen who can go in there and galvanize that fan base, coach up this team. I think it's a perfect fit, but again, what do I know? So we'll see what happens in LA. Atlanta, I don't know what they do as far as coaching goes. We'll see. And then Washington, I have no clues, because now you have no GM and you have no head coach. And speaking of GMs, the Las Vegas Aces announced that they won't renew the contract of GM Natalie Williams. So Natalie Williams now a free agent. She's no longer with the Aces. So maybe she goes to a Washington club who right now doesn't have a coach. She can kind of handpick her coach over there. And then on top of that, guys, and actually I hear there's assistant coach over there with the Aces that teams are kind of looking at right now. So we'll see what happens. Maybe she goes, gets this Washington position, and she grabs one of the assistants from over there with the Aces. We'll see. But Natalie Williams, one of the architects behind building that team over there and adding the pieces necessary to win the WNBA championship 2 years in a row. So I think Natalie Williams will not be on the sideline for very long as well. So we'll see what happens in that regard. So that's your coaching news and your GM news, guys. And then the last bit of news, the WNBPA, the Players Association, they announced that they're opting out of the 2020 CBA agreement that they had. That was supposed to extend into the 2027 season, but they had an opt-out. They decide to actually exercise that opt-out. And right now, they have until Halloween of next year. So we're talking October 31st, 2025, to reach a new agreement. Otherwise, it'll be a lockout. So we'll see what happens there. The players, they want higher pay, obviously. They want a larger piece of the shares of media rights. They want a larger share as far as that goes. And they want better benefits. So it stands to reason that they had a successful season this season, of course, with the incoming of the rookie class at the top of the ticket, of course, Caitlin Clark. Then you had Aja Reese, also Cameron Brink, all these ladies bringing a buzz to the W. And then next year, you're going to have a nice draft as well. At the top of it, Paige Beckers, of course. So it seems like the ball is rolling down the hill and building up momentum, so it only gets better from here, guys. So we'll see if the Players Association, in fact, Aneka Awumike, the president of the Players Union, she has gone and been interviewed and saying, look, we as a union is standing strong here in our position. So we'll see what happens, guys. So interesting development there. And then, of course, you have the people like Stephen A. Smith. He goes and says, oh, y'all opting out. This is why y'all should have been embracing Caitlin Clark and all this and that. She should be in the, again, with the Olympic stuff. It's like he's a broken record by now. It is. It's just he listens to his own stuff. He's all marketing and this nonsense. So Stephen A, sew your lips shut when it comes to WNBA talk, because you're losing it. So anyway, I digress. So, all right. So that is your WNBA news, guys. Now let's turn our attention to the NBA. Week one, you had some pretty good games there, guys. But I'll just talk about a few things that went on. Of course, at the top of the list, LeBron James and his son, Bronny, they have their moment. They make history as the first father and son duo to play in the NBA. They do that on opening night, of course, in the Crypto Center on October 22nd, playing against the Minnesota Timberwolves. They have their moment, and it's late in the first half where they both come into the game together. They play for only 2.5 minutes, so it's not really, you know, a long, long extended play. So they make history. My thoughts on it, I'm glad they got it out the way. Fine, you know. They got their bit of history. Is it nice? Nice little story. I guess it is. It's, yeah. I'm not doing cartwheels over it, but it's a nice little story. Other people were so thrilled about it. Of course, you have the Rob Parkers of the world talking about it was a contrived moment. I guess you could, I can't argue with that. And then you have Christopher Mad Dog Russo, who says your average NBA fan doesn't care about that. So, which I thought was a bit strong, but he's basically the whole idea. And then, you know, I talked about it as well, guys, how the whole situation was manipulated from the start. The Lakers drafting him, telling teams not to draft him. Otherwise, he'll sit out, he'll go overseas and all that, which I thought was a farce. I didn't think any of that was happening. But they did enough to scare off teams so that the Lakers could take him. Lakers took him, and now you have him in the NBA. Now, there's talk of him going back and forth between down in the G League and up in the big leagues. As far as that goes, they say he may go down there and then come back for Christmas. This way, him and LeBron, that is, are playing together on Christmas Day. So there's that. And then I heard this one guy, Sean King, and he had glowing praise for Bronny, says how he's, in time, he'll be better than D'Angelo Russell, which I thought was absolutely insane for him to say that. D'Angelo Russell has his flaws, but he is, at the end of the day, a solid NBA player. Is Bronny there? Can he get there? It's all in how they develop him, but I don't see him being better than D'Angelo Russell. I thought that was a bit much. So there's that. And then, of course, you know, it was star-studded affair. The Griffies were even there, and they were like the last father-son duo to play in a, you know, major sport as far as playing together goes. And we know that happened in Seattle. So you have that. But yeah, so, you know, again, you know, was it nice? Was it nice little nostalgia there? Yeah, I'll grant you that. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going crazy. I would love to know what the average Laker fan thinks of it. In fact, I think of my nephew and my niece, actually. They're big Laker fans. So I love to get their thoughts on it. So, and actually, in that game, they won the game, by the way, 110 to 103. Anthony Davis, 36 points, 16 rebounds, three block shots, and he also had four assists. And I kind of forgot to mention Anthony Davis when I was talking MVP. I would definitely take off one of those guys. Probably Brunson I would take off, and I would put Anthony Davis in as far as the one of the three top players who can be in the MVP conversation. If he can play like this on any given night, which he has thus far, they're 3-0. I'll talk about that later, but you guys start thinking about Anthony Davis as maybe a MVP candidate. I know it's only three games, guys. I get that. I know it's injury history as well, but if he's able to muster up 68 to 70 games, putting up these type of numbers, it'll be hard to deny. And then again, also, it depends on the Lakers' record, so we'll see. But so he had that. LeBron had 16 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks as well. And then on the losing side, Anthony Edwards led the way with 27 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists. And also, Julius Randle in his debut as a Minnesota Timberwolf, 16 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 assists for him. So that is the Laker game. That's how that went. Let's talk about the game prior to that game on that Tuesday night. Boston Celtics, who tie a NBA record. Victory at home on banner night against my Knicks. So I was watching the game and it's like, man, they're on something tonight with all these threes. And then, you know, they were trying to break the record to get to 30. They end up missing their last 13 three-point attempts in doing that. So they weren't able to break the record, only tie it. So there's that. And in a game where they led as much as 35 points, which is pretty substantial. But, yeah, they just blew the Knicks out of the gym that night. And as far as your leading scorers go, Jason Tatum, I talked about him, guys. I think he's going to have an MVP-type season. 37 points on opening night, dropping 8 threes, 10 assists, and 4 rebounds for him. Also, Derek White, 24 points. He had 6 threes in the game. And then you had Jaylen Brown, 23 points, and he had 5 threes. So you're talking about between those guys, nearly 20 of the threes right there. So then on the losing side, Jalen Brunson and both Miles, well, Deuce McBride, 22 points. Deuce's 22 coming off the bench, where I think he's going to be very valuable for the Knicks. And then Karl-Anthony Towns in his Knicks debut, 12 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists. So Boston sets a record on their banner night where they put up the banner and so forth for winning the title. So there's that. Moving on. Joel Embiid. Oh, man. Joel Embiid and Paul George are going to be, well, they were out for the first week of the season. They declared it, and they made it known. And the league office now wants to investigate what's going on as far as the Sixers player participation, the protocols that they have in place. So remember, the NBA, they're very much going to be proactive as far as making sure, you know, they have these national games, guys, and you don't have the star power out there. The NBA got a problem with that. So they're looking into this whole issue with Embiid and whatnot. And they already announced, Nick Nurse, the coach, that Joel Embiid will not be playing in the latter half or the first half or whatever. In as far as back-to-backs, he'll play one of the back-to-backs. He won't play the two together. So, and of course, the TNT crew inside the NBA took issue with it, especially Barkley, you know, saying that basically it's bad for the fans, you know, the fans expect more, you know, which, you know, is fair. But if you're a Sixer fan, I mean, really, you know they're going to manage this guy. So you really have to be kind of more vigilant as far as what games to purchase and which ones not to, because you know there's a good chance of Embiid missing time. So, and then Paul George just coming in the door. He's got injury problems as well. So we'll see what happens. Philly went healthy on paper, looks great, but it's the whole injury bug. Then now you put, my problem with it, with all this is, now you put the onus on a young guy like Tyrese Maxey, who balled out, by the way. I'll talk about him later, but, you know, you put all the pressure on this guy to kind of carry the load until you guys get back. So how fair is that? So I don't know. I'm just saying. So that's the issue with the Philadelphia 76ers. Let's move on. Speaking of injuries, let's talk about a few. DeJounte Murray, now with the New Orleans Pelicans, on opening night, he fractures his hand, guys, in the season opening win versus Chicago. 123-111. And then thus, he's out 4 to 6 weeks, guys. Tough blow for that Pelican team. So now you'll probably have to resort to CJ McCollum going back to the point guard position to, you know, run the show. And then you'll probably have to call on the likes of Jordan Hawkins, who as a rookie had a pretty fine season for them last season. So you're calling on the young kid again to come in and kind of fill the absence of a DeJounte Murray, which is a tall ask, but it seems like the kid has confidence. He played well last year, and hopefully he can kind of fill the gap a little bit for Murray until he comes back. So there's that. Emmanuel Quickley, he injures his pelvis for the Toronto Raptors on opening night and a home opening loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers, 136-106. And that happened, guys, in the second quarter of that game where Quickley had the fall where he landed on his pelvis. He ends up missing the next two games. And then for the Monday game, which is actually taking place, he's doubtful. So more likely than not, he's not playing, guys. So whenever you see that doubtful, 9 times out of 10, that person won't play. So he'll probably miss tonight as well. What he missed down the road, we'll see. But Emmanuel Quickley, a player I have high hopes for and high expectations for this season, kind of slow to begin with. But that's okay. You know, if he can recover, he'll be just fine. Jaren Jackson Jr. for the Memphis Grizzlies. He makes his season debut after missing the first two games with a hamstring injury. And he makes his debut on Saturday, October 26th, in a game where he ends up playing 23 minutes, scoring 13 points, and grabbing 4 rebounds. In fact, that was a game I actually saw a bit of that, where the Memphis Grizzlies, they took on the Orlando Magic. And they won that game, by the way. So, Jaren Jackson back for the Memphis Grizzlies. So, you have that. And then also, too, you have Ja Morant. He's back now for that ball club. So far, so good, guys. He looks like he's hungry. He looked like he's determined. So, Memphis Grizzlies, I think, like I said in my season previews, they're gonna be a problem this year. So make note of that. A couple of 40 point game performances, guys. First, Nikola Jokic, he drops 41 along with 9 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals, but he does it in a home loss, guys, to the LA Clippers, 109-104. In a game that saw Norman Powell. See, Norman Powell now, guys, I talked about it in the preview. With Kawhi Leonard out, someone needs to step up and bring production. And Norman Powell seems like he's up for the task, guys. 37 points. He dropped 7 threes in this game, guys, for the Clippers. Ivica Zubac, 24 points, 15 rebounds, and 4 assists for him. And then James Harden, 23 points, 16 assists for him. So Nikola Jokic drops 41, but in a loss. And then Tyrese Maxey, I was talking about him earlier. He scores 13 of his 45 points, guys, in an overtime road win against the Indiana Pacers, 118-114. He also adds to that 4 assists, 4 rebounds, and 2 blocks also for Tyrese. Again, Tyrese is carrying the load, guys. And I just mentioned it. You know, you don't want to put too much of the heavy lifting on this kid. That's all I'm saying with that. And then on the losing side, Tyrese Haliburton, fresh off a donut that he got off my Knicks Friday night at the Garden. They held him scoreless. He scores 22 in this game with 4 rebounds and only 2 assists, guys. This is the assist leader from last year. Only 2 assists in this game. But he's one of 7 players who scores in double figures, albeit in a loss. So there's that. So that's your 40-plus point performances, guys, for the week. As far as the undefeateds go, as of now, you have 2 in the East, 2 in the West. In the East, the Boston Celtics, no surprise, the defending champs at 3-0. And the Cleveland Cavaliers, guys, starting out 3-0. Kenny Atkinson, like I told you in the preview, he's getting a second bite at the apple here, coaching these Cavaliers. He has a talented squad, guys. So Kenny Atkinson can coach. We've seen what he did in Brooklyn with that ball club over there before they brought in the big guns like Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And then they just give Atkinson the heave-ho. But he has the Cavaliers 3-0, guys. So a team I actually kind of underestimated, but so far so good early on. And then in the West, your conference leader, the Oklahoma City Thunder starting 3-0. Guys, it looked like they're still humming, guys. All this without the services of Isaiah Hartenstein, who will be back probably, I say, about December or so. You'll get him back. So right now, they're clicking on all cylinders. And then the Los Angeles Lakers, surprise, surprise, they're 3-0, guys. So again, Anthony Davis is playing out of his mind. LeBron is playing well. He just put up a triple-double as well. I believe that makes him the oldest person to drop a triple-double in a game. So you have that. So the Lakers are playing well. And you know what's happening? Guard play, guys. They're getting solid guard play so far. So if you have that, you have Anthony Davis going crazy, LeBron being LeBron, this team could be a problem. Maybe this is another team I underestimated. So we'll see what happens. But it's early on. And then your winless ball clubs. You got 2 in the East, 3 in the West. Your East teams, the Detroit Pistons, 0-3. I actually watched the first game. They look a bit more feisty, guys. So I think it's just a matter of time before J.B. Bickerstaff gets that team kind of rolling and playing the way he wants them to play. So there's that. And then the Washington Mystics, not Mystics, I'm talking W. The Washington Wizards, 0-2. Not a surprise. I picked them as probably a bottom feeder in the East. So not surprised by that thus far. So we'll see what happens there. In the West, the Utah Jazz. I'm still trying to figure out what they're trying to do. They got so much young talent over there. I'm just trying to figure out what's happening. So they're 0-2. Denver Nuggets, guys, 0-2 already, guys. Not good. I said in the season preview, I'm concerned about their depth. And that's kind of coming into fruition, albeit early in the season. But they need more contributions from their bench, guys. They need more contributions because right now, they're taxing the starting lineup. And when you go to a bench, it's like an empty well. So we'll see. We'll see what happens as the season progresses. And then the Sacramento Kings, I'm surprised. 0-2 so far. But again, it's early. So, you know. And also, you have a new addition in DeMar DeRozan. So it may take some time for him to acclimate. So we'll see what happens there. I'm not too worried about Sacramento. Denver, I'm kind of concerned about. I'm kind of concerned about them. And Utah is what it is. So with that said, one final note. They unveiled the Dwayne Wade statue that's going to be outside of that Miami arena over there. You had your luminaries there present. Pat Riley, of course. Bam Adebayo. And, of course, he brought his love interest, somebody who we are well familiar with, Aja Wilson. So they were both there as a couple. Nice to see that. But the statue itself, guys, what are we doing here, guys? Just go and take a look at the statue. And you're like, this is the best you could have did. And then the sculptor's saying that, you know, everybody has a complaint, this and that. But come on, you don't have the statue with the guy's mouth open for crying out loud. And it just doesn't look like him. It doesn't. So I don't know with these sculptors these days. You got the one for Allen Iverson. He made it too small. Now you got this one here where he didn't make it where he even looked like Dwayne Wade. So what can you do? So the only statue I've heard a complaint about is Dirk Nowitzki. So seemed like they did it right over there. You maybe should hire that guy to do this one, but I digress. All right, guys. So that's it for me. I thank you for listening as always. All things basketball with GD.com is the website. Of course, you can find me there, all the episodes. My support buttons, guys, support me. I have my Spotify donate button there, my buy me a coffee button. And my PayPal is over there as well. If you want a Cash App, $GD, that sports dude. Again, that's GD, that sports dude. I probably need to flash it. Next time, I'll flash it at the bottom there. This way you guys can see it. So, also on podcast platforms, I'm on all the platforms. Apple, you can leave reviews there and all that. Also on YouTube, like the videos, guys. Like them. Comment if you like as well. I had a couple of comments maybe about a month or so back, and it was nice to see I replied back as well. So leave comments, guys. And then on socials, IG, I'm heavy. TikTok, I'm getting my shorts there, so I'm doing that. Facebook, I'm kind of getting a little bit back into it. I'm not too thrilled with it. X, I'll post. I'm starting to post now my full episodes, but I'm not doing much more than that. I can't mess with Elon Musk. And then LinkedIn, I'll put my videos there as well. All right, guys, so that is it. I thank you for listening as always, and we will talk soon. Take care.